you want to check and see if it's working, or just monitor.
Okay. The numbers are turning.
Okay.
All right.
How long did you live in Lisa Gaines' mother's house then? Was that six years?
No,
I believe it's 4 or 5. We went into the over 41 and we left in 45 years. Well, was that pretty typical at the time that you had to get enough money together to buy a house?
My home over there was a car. We lived there and we stayed upstairs and we had a bedroom.
It was like a pond.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. For newlyweds.
Mm-hmm.
So you had your first child when you were on 9th Street?
Yes. And then the second one was in D.C. and born in 36.
That's your second child.
Mm-hmm. And then I was on this
one. Uh-huh.
And what? We were in the summer,
And Anne, Scott, James, and Dennis, yours is, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. And then at the end of the program, I shall ask Dennis and Frank to give me their ideas of how to...
Maybe you can tell us about some of the other neighbors on Ridge Street that you had. That was interesting.
You
didn't
know, did you?
Oh, yes, living in Algeria. Uh-huh.
Miss Jessie Curry.
Jessie Curry?
Curry. C-R-E-Y. She was on the corner of Ridge and Cardinal Mill Road, and she was a teacher at Tillerson.
Oh.
For a long, long time.
Was she? Was she a teacher when you were principal, or is she still?
And I also went to school for her.
She was your teacher?
Mm-hmm. In the 7th grade.
Uh-huh.
She's
also from Southville.
Mm-hmm.
What was her name?
Hot Knock. would want to live there now.
Oh. You got a big family?
Well, they have a lot of family. Their children are going around and their grandchildren are going around. And you feel my mind and look at it, and I guess I always think I'm with him.
Yeah. It must be, you have really good
memory. Although I didn't look at it too much, but I didn't look at it. But it was more like a... He was there for a while. But before he came, and so there was another black woman. But the Mr. Media only would ask her to cook something, and he was not allowed a full idea to live in it.
He bought it and they couldn't live in it?
Well, for some reason he couldn't live in it. And then after that, he bought it from a man named Mr. Fuller.
Remember?
And he had bought it from Mr. Media.
Hmm.
He was good. But Mr. Media only referred to people.
But you moved in there in 1946, so this part of Ridge Street was just had black people living there.
From there on down,
on one side.
And then on the other side, there was black people who were first. The black people on the other side was missing. And everything up the other way.
So from your house, when you the first house that was a black family, or was there another?
I guess so.
Huh. That's interesting. And did the white families interact at all with the black family?
Because
you were right next to each other.
The update was very nice, and that helped you turn that all on the stage.
The Upex, I know they still live there. I mean, they stayed there the whole time, or the descendants.
They live up on another corner next. But right next to it, where the, like I say, Wardell's grandmother and grandfather, they were older people. And I remember when I went there, she would watch me and walk over me and book a board to see if.
Here
I was
there
because I was
sick.
She was wondering
how to come.
And they were very nice
ladies,
weren't they?
Well, the problem was, Mr. Upstate, he was very old at the time, had a very beautiful garden in his back that he lined off with things to plant and of course, I do the same thing as long as he lived as an appeaser. But I didn't want him to think that I was breaking the tradition of the way he lived. So I had a garden too. And then we could talk garden.
Right. Well, see, that's part of using a communicator.
And then he died. The garden's stuck.
So you can just do a... You did a garden because you did a garden. You didn't just do a neat garden.
Well, I tell
but you did a garden.
Yeah, he did. But well, I tell you, after that, they, a lady I knew was Shirley, it worked down at Valley View. She and her husband and family lived in a little house back of us. It's based on, I think it's called a Hendrix Street.
Oh, right.
Okay. Down in. And they decided that they stayed after the people had their garden. And they had their garden. So.
On your land?
Mm-hmm. They were just giving them.
Well, that's not bad. Yeah. Were you glad to stop gardening?
What?
Were you happy to stop your gardening?
I couldn't really suffer.
When we went out there,
And then we were there 25 years. That was in the 55. Mm-hmm. And now we've been away from that 24 years. You see, that house was only about 80 years old.
That's an egg line.
Mm-hmm. But I love it too.
Mm-hmm.
And it had all these things boxed there. I don't know what they're doing. And they had it. But while we were there, Mr. Cook's son came and bought two boxed offices. Because we were at high school there, Miss George. Whoever we sold it and they sold it, not all of them, they were a decent thing. But the floor that came, it was a box set around it. That's where the charity was with that thing in the north. And we sold it and he came to get boxed off because his father had trained him and he wanted the box. And then I noticed the people that were there, so that the box was really
but you had a side yard that in the way that you sold that lot and they put something else in.
They put a
And
that was all y'all.
That was your big side yard. So it was a sounds really special.
It's blue flowers blooming all the year.
All the time.
They have the sweet and the peonies and the sometimes they have the stuff in there for the prisoners and that magnolia, not the western magnolia, but the other magnolia that you see there in the plain. You know,
that star magnolia?
Yeah, that, you know,
long, the white
magnolia.
So these are a lot, but mostly planted by the cook. Well, that really does sound like a wonderful place to go.
A big side cook. And all the good ones have three, except Al, they are the big, that's people call them all the master business. Three windows on the side, and three windows on the back. All the other ones had three windows. The one in the front was three small windows. And then they were stairs, they had a big one, he called it a back room. So, bed on the first floor, two beds on the first floor. It was a wonderful house. When we went in it, it had been lit for 2 o'clock.
How does life on Ridge Street as an adult compare to when you were growing up on Hartman's Mill Road?
Well, there wasn't really any comparison because when we live on Ridge Street, I was probably about
10 hours.
Everything was done as an adult. No place.
No playing anymore, huh? And there were more amenities too. I mean, you had water, city water by that time, right?
Well, before he left on the hill, he was sitting there.
But the relationships with people, maybe was that pretty much the same? The feeling of community, the way it seemed like you knew your neighbors pretty well.
You knew the neighbors too.
You knew them
well.
In both circumstances, when you were young and when you were an adult. When you were an adult, where did you shop?
Where did you shop?
Uh-huh.
Even before you
came
to
the
shop,
man.
On Main Street. And then, of course, you know, we go back there, we always shop Safeway. Safeway was here when we first got married over there, down on
Main Street. Yeah.
I mean, the downtown Main Street. There's a place way down there on the corner across from where they've been up in the theater, across from where the downtown was, and the street in there.
I was here when that.
No, you weren't there down there when they were downtown. You were the only one with up here maybe on Main Street up there.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I wasn't. It was an A&T.
A&T was on
Market.
Oh, yeah, the shop. Then you stopped at the Stop and Shop. I remember when we first got married. I think we went to the Stop and Shop or the A&T. The big things and the real things, the big dollars, and took all those out too.
Did you hear that?
Mr. Lewis's store was down there, and Mr. Lewis's store, Miss Alice. Because she lived up the street from the hotel. Miss Alice, you took the children home. I see her name. What's her name? Let her tell
me.
Sarah Davis. Miss Alice used to be down there, and I seen her at the family. But anyway, she lived up the 2 hours up the street from us on Ridge Street with her mother. And her mother's sisters and their children and those children were rich.
How does that work? Could you just say, don't play with those children?
And I don't imagine that my grandmother wanted them to play with my children either, but my children were good for those children. Anyway, but I asked her about those children when I see this thing. And then another lady used to work there, and then Miss Lucille, and I say that because that's what my children were talking about, Miss Lucille. And Miss Lucille was one of the ladies that had an apartment in the house that we were in before we moved in. And she, I see her,
Is she Woodbuck?
Oh,
No, this is Woodbuck.
I see her and she's always very close. And so, next time you see her, it'll be a glory together. Not together, but he's going over and
nearby.
No, not nearby. I don't want that to be children.
Oh,
not
you're not. And she lived in your house
755 or 4 years ago, when it was a three-time house. You see, people who rented houses couldn't be put out and needed it. They were doing the work or a suit. And so therefore, he picked a year to find something else. But they didn't fit there.
Yes, and I don't know if they fit there. Anyway, they couldn't move us when we bought it. So we had to wait until the time, whatever time it was, but we had to wait until the before we could move there.
What was it like when, it was in the 50s when the first part of Rich Street, when the white family started moving out and black families moved in? Was it, how did people feel, or was it a tense situation?
Where we were, I don't know what they were.
It was already It was different where you were. But it happened pretty quickly, didn't it, when the white gentleman moved. That was like in the...
But have you all talked to the different children?
I think he might be.
We know that the victims live on Lake Street.
But I'm just thinking that that's somebody who has been. We have had many families of every woman. They don't see it.
Yeah.
Who has gone?
Yeah, Mr.
Yeah, Mr.
Yeah, we want to learn more about that.
I can only have happened in the area of Mr.
That's what the other people that was talking to said. I feel it seems like it was a real nice community feeling there.
Eugene Williams, he's a good man.
Yeah, he's really active. He's actually with this group. Mm-hmm. Well, he's not doing the oral history, but he's involved in a preservation group.
He's
It's a new group called Preservation Piedmont, and we do what we can to preserve.
Well, what are you going to, what are you thinking about doing about that lady talking about maybe Mrs. Piedmont?
Mrs.
Jones. We're very interested in that, and these, and it's more up to date on what's happening there than I am.
Well, look, they had some people go in, some architects go in, and they look to see if it could be stabilized. And I think I'm not sure, because I think the view was, at least by those people, that they couldn't save it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
What happened to
her in her home? Well, I'm sure that they will work with her. Since she has an insurance policy, and the city has in place now funds, a revolving fund, to help people preserve their home.
What do you really want to know?
I just want to know about it. Just some things that happened.
Well,
when
well,
you were principal, I don't know much about it.
Venable School was closed. There was massive resistance. And who was the governor?
And Lane was closed.
The governor?
Lindsay Allman.
Allman,
And so, massive resistance. That was his school, Matthew Resistance. And so he and Charlottesville, Venable School was closed. And for a time, Venable. That's right. But otherwise, if the schools were not affected by the situation, they have somebody staying ready to go in and remain open.
Oh, no, sir.
But both these schools were closed. And that, if that means George Devonton, he's up the superintendent for the
He was there at the time.
Was the fact that we had a very good friend. Did you know Miss Lucille Mitchell? Miss Smith.
Sounds awfully familiar.
Miss Lucille Mickey was with that citizen group of
others. Hi, Mickey, Sarah.
Anyway, not close when I was there. And she was, of course, I mean, it was the thing to be an infant. But you know, she had, when I went down to Maine to be secretary. And she was in the guidance box. And she was there. She said, you and I have changed. And she really had. And we had the best relationship up there. I cried when she got. But she was crazy about George Drummond. And she went along with all that integration and everything wonderful because of George. And I know she was crazy about him up until she died, and I was crazy about her up until she died. I was crazy about her. And
what was her position?
She was a guidance counselor. And then after that, she became a psychologist for the city school.
She became what?
Psychologist.
Oh.
She was a wonderful person. A wonderful person. I don't know whether you've been there that long, not Miss Pesci. Do you remember the shop down on Main Street, Eaton shop down on Main Street?
Mm-hmm. West Main, the dresser?
Mm-hmm. That's right, yes. Well, her mother was the owner of that, Miss Mrs. Eaton. And that was Miss Nicky's mother. But she always used to bring me, and I'd hang up my coat and everything, and my name's called and things. We never could work in a store, and I didn't get that coat hung up just right with this. Oh, she was a wonderful person.
So, at Jefferson, what happened at Jefferson? Is that when they closed the school?
We didn't have to do anything, we kept going.
And no, because at that time, all the students were black, and there's no white students in
there. All the students.
And there were over 900 students together.
Well, there were over 1,000.
Well, I thought it was close to 1,000.
Goodness. Did you feel like it was very crowded, or was it?
Oh, yeah, we totally did. Have you ever been in that building?
Yeah, sure, many times.
What we did was divide the auditorium participants into four sides.
Okay.
And
they had
classroom
down
that
shallow
downstairs?
Down
the hall. And that's how we were able to house those people. But
my son
and George Drummond were always. And so he didn't want to fool with all that masses. So the poet got to his congregation and wanted to do what the government did.
The school board.
So George Drummond resigned.
Hmm.
Right at the end of the year, that year.
It's like
a
crowd I thought he was here when they got it done, wasn't he?
If they got it what?
When they got it, when they integrated. Were you there?
Yeah.
I don't know. He was here, I thought.
Yeah, he was.
Well, he was, because he had them pick teachers from different schools, you know? We had to pick the teachers from Jefferson. They had to go to these different schools. I thought George Drummond was still here. He was here.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it seemed like soon after that, they got rid of him.
Mm-hmm. Well, my impression is that he was stuck here during the process, mm-hmm. but then there's some bad feelings.
Yeah, that's
when he was.
But
he
brought
it along.
Oh, he did.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that he chose Charlesville to retire.
And you know, Carol just sent me an article this morning in the mail. That article that was in the paper was so funny. Somebody called on the telephone, and I'm the one that tells people to be very careful what you say. Because things get in the paper and then you read it and you say, oh my goodness, you know, what happened to you? And in the paper, Booker went on to say that Cap Gordon Tremont and his government, you know, just decided it was going to be done and they're good. And then in the same paper, George Tremont, somebody went and talked to George Tremont, and George Tremont said that if it hadn't been for the Booker, they wouldn't have been able to do it because he was able to bring it along smooth there. In the paper, he had to take everybody on the desk now. And I said, oh my Lord, this must be a mutual admiration.
It'd be nice if we got together. He's a lot of fun, I think, too.
You know him?
Well, I know him because his son-in-law now, you know, is the mayor of San Francisco, but we do things together, and then the parents come along sometimes.
Yeah, this girl sent this to me out of the paper today. The girl was she's going to Paris, and she didn't know what I had, but she was there.
Oh,
in
I know that, yeah.
In India, it says, Reeves particularly commended Superintendent George Tremont for his work before and during integration in the early and mid-1960s. He was interested in integration. He created a situation in Jefferson that was equal to others in terms of supplies, Reeves said. He wanted to go on with integration. His idea was to bring Jefferson up to date with more supplies, better books. Now, says Tremont, who still lives in Charlottesville, said that when he came to the school system in 1960, as director of instruction, he made sure Jefferson received the same supplies as other schools. When I came in, it was a very well-run school, he said. And they knew their kids and they knew their parents, and that means a lot. Jefferson closed as a black elementary school in 1964 during integration. They're down here prayers, and then he said, Jefferson, wait a minute, wait a minute. Tremont said, I'm skipping up. This is what he said. Some people would not accept anything, he said, and some said, my kids can sit with black kids in the same classroom, but they have no way in hell that my kids will be taught by a black person. Tremont said one of the keys to a successful integration was Reeves, who had such respect in both the white and black communities that he was able to smooth over many angry feelings. If it hadn't been for Booker Reeves, he would have been in trouble, he said. We never had any riots, never any real fun. Sure, there was some uncomfortableness, but it was nothing like the other cities. And both of them were talking about each other, and I don't know when they got together. They haven't seen each other for years. Last time I saw him, I believe we were both complaining about the fact that folks were beginning to treat us like old folks. because we've been young together and they asked me card and things like that, and I never think of my age. I had been in the hospital the time when I got married and trying to get me to think of my age.
That's wonderful. I'm glad you read it.
I didn't know you would.
That's significant.
Is that all right with you to have that on?
I think that's
very important.
I picked a lot of things and whatnot. Well,
you spoke us together well.
And that's on
Mr. Reeves, so his job was to pick teachers and send them into the new
I don't know how many teachers he had at the time, but they weren't getting rid of the teachers. So they had to go to Clark, Greenbrier, Vernon Ryan. They had to go to all the different elementary schools. So he had to say this one to go here, this one to go there, this one to go there.
this was when Jefferson School was closed.
Yes. And then Jefferson School closed at the same time, so that happened. The two middle schools, Walker and Duke, were not completed, so you have one class in the morning, one class in the morning, and one set in the evening. Because our daughter would go to school with her daddy in the morning over to McGuffey. See, at that time he went to McGuffey with her.
Mm-hmm.
And when she would go in the morning to school with him, and then she would go over to Buford in the afternoon. Buford was in the afternoon with Jefferson, I'm sure. And at that time, they put me, I already been working at Jefferson as a part-time service person. And they had that big school.
Mm-hmm.
And George Tamara sent me to Lane. I was the first one born from Lane. Sent me down to Lane in the guidance office and the secretary. So that was my first full-time job.
Oh.
And that's when I was staffed with Miss McLean. And maybe Garrett, she was a guidance counselor, and she came from deep from Burnham Marais. And Mr. Barnes.
What did he buy?
Mr. Barnes, he was a guidance counselor. And they were all my very, very good friends. And I miss them. Mrs. Garrett, you know, she lives in the I hope she's going to
So when you went there, were you one of the first black secretaries in the building?
I was the first black person to work there, except for janitorial.
But so for many years you worked as
our secretary. I was the secretary there. And then they got another secretary on the board of records clerk for me. And then I went over to Charlottesville Hospital as the records clerk. I think I worked for about 18 years. Between the two of them. And they're good friends.
When did you stop working? Can you remember?
I stopped working in 1980. Booker retired from 79 and wouldn't let me keep on working.
So you've had some fun, I bet. We could ask every time.
We have.
So the people you remember working with at Lane when you were a guidance counselor there?
I wasn't a guidance counselor.
You were not.
One of the reasons all this doesn't get passed on, right, is because people are human and we're going to make mistakes.
Don't put it in the tape.
No,
I've worked with so many people. Mr. Nichols, and the secretary was there in the office. What a sad name. Can you think about that name?
Well, where did, Mr. Reese, after you moved teachers into the various schools, from Jefferson, then where did you go?
McGuffey.
Oh, then you went.